Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What do you think of that, Dave? Well, full of grace and truth.
Yes, we were kind of starting to get into that at the end of the last
well, we were
podcast.
Cruelly cut off by time, but anyway.
By time. But you know, since we said that last time and now, I've just realised, you know, that it also indicates to us that the Father is full of grace and truth.
Right.
Because it's the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Mm.
And that's just amazing. But what was it you were saying about that being, if it was only one or the other?
If Jesus was full of truth with no grace.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about the law then. We're talking about legalism. We're talking about a hard taskmaster that nobody can measure up to. Okay. And we're talking about a certain death because we broke the law. Without redemption, without hope.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
Mm.
You know, we're talking about police state here, Dave.
Right.
You know, in a divine sense.
Cosmic police state.
Cosmic police state where you are just failed without any hope of salvation.
Right.
That's what we're talking about with truth. You know, because God is good. God is perfect. No man is perfect. But God is, and we're failed. That's why we're talking about truth.
Right.
And unfortunately, I have to be blunt here, we come across Christians who are like that. They will hit you on the head with the Bible and tell you what's wrong with your life.
Mm.
And they'll walk away then. Mm. And all they've done is I liken it to a fella, or just say a poor lady, she's driving her car, she gets a puncture, and she pulls in the side of the road, and she's not quite sure where the jack is or how to change a wheel, but she's in distress. And some guy drives a car and slows down beside her and rolls down the window and looks at her flat tire and says, "I see you have a puncture." And then he rolls up his window and he drives off.
Right.
That's what the truth is.
So he just tells the
truth.
Okay. Yeah.
But that didn't help her. That just depressed her.
Yes.
So grace, you see, is different.
Mm.
How would we define grace?
Grace is like where he gets out of the car and changes the tire for her.
That's right.
Yeah.
Does something about it. Mm. Of course, there's this great grace of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, that we get something that we don't deserve, that Jesus paid for with his own life at Calvary.
Yes.
So the amazing thing is at that cross was the reconciliation of the... Oh, I better stop using big words. But the way the problem was solved, the problem that God is holy and no one's going to heaven, and God is loving and nobody's going to hell.
Right.
Do you see? He sorted them out at the cross because
yes.
God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but would have eternal life through faith in the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
It's wild, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just thinking, with grace and truth, with truth, the only way that you can be right with God is if you
through
deserve
grace.
It. Well, if you deserve it.
Keep going.
The only way you the only way you can have access to God through truth on its own.
Or true, without grace.
Yes,
yeah.
Is if you deserve it.
Yeah.
And the only way you can have access to God through grace is if you accept
you
don't deserve it.
Yeah, wow.
Now, what other option is there?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, there isn't one.
You're saying we either deserve it or we don't.
Yes.
Okay.
And that means there's only the law and grace.
But what about the people, Dave, who think, and this is a vast majority of the people, because I know through street evangelism and talking to people, people have this ingrained belief that if they do more good than bad, they'll be all right with God.
Well, yes, but the problem with that is that God is perfect. And so all the good bits you do don't make up for the fact that you're imperfect.
Yeah.
In fact, if you do everything perfectly and just one thing imperfectly, then you've missed it.
Yeah.
Because you're not perfect anymore.
It's like if you muddy the water and you keep adding pure bottles of Ballygowan to it, or spring water.
That's right.
It's still muddy to water.
Yeah.
Know, you won't purify it.
Well, that's right.
Or make it perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Or somebody was talking about, like, salt water. That it doesn't matter how much fresh water you pour into salt water.
It'll be salt water.
It's always salt water.
Yeah.
And the problem is that God is pure water.
Did you hear the latest thing in NASA, Dave? They're spending huge money in going off to Mars and places to try and find life, okay?
Yeah.
They're searching for microbial life. Do you see the little bacterias and all sorts of things?
Yeah.
And but the problem is they have to clean the spacecraft, give it a real deep clean before they send it up. Because otherwise they bring up their own microbes and they won't be able to prove there's any microbes up there.
Right.
But the latest discovery, they've had a huge setback because they've discovered there's bacteria which can survive the most astonishing deep clean.
Right, you know? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And so it's really set them back in a big way.
I hope none of those get in my burger.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Let's not go there.
We won't go there. But... why did I say that? I'm saying it this way, that there's purity that is never really achievable outside of God. You know, so if you think I can make a clean environment here with no bacteria in it,
yeah,
even the best money in the world and the best labs in the world can't seem to be able to do it.
Right.
And they can't get rid of all the bacteria.
Yeah.
So
here's a question for you now.
Oh, before I leave this one, come back to the question, Dave. But do you know the 9/10 of the cells in your body are not human? They're microbes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, anyway, about that.
Well, thanks for that.
Put you off your dinner.
No, I've forgotten my question.
Okay.
My question is that, okay, so if that's how it is, as far as truth is concerned, that you know, God is perfect, we're not perfect, no way we can have our own salvation, that we can come to deserve it. How does grace work?
Grace acknowledges that.
Right.
And pays for what we deserve. Do you see, when I ask people on the street, I say, why did Jesus die on the cross? Most people don't know. And they ask me then, they say, well, why did he die on the cross?
Mm.
And I say things like this. I say, you know, he died to satisfy the justice of a holy God.
The truth.
Yeah.
That he fulfilled the truth.
Yeah.
That imperfect demands.
See, the law. Justice. The law couldn't be ignored.
Mm.
Right. The law had to be fulfilled.
Right.
And there's a huge difference. So if God is arbitrary, and a lot of world religions think God's arbitrary, for example, the Islam faith believes that God may or may not save you. Muhammad did not know that he'd go to heaven. He hoped that God would be merciful for him.
So God's justice...
I'm not picking on Muslims here, but I'm just saying it's typical for most religions to believe in an arbitrary God.
So God's justice has to follow its course, and it's perfect justice.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus came to the cross for, to fulfill that justice. Is that right?
See, most people know or have some kind of sense that God is just, and they run away from God because they know they're unjust. They know they're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's like you don't go running up to the policeman if you're a troublemaker. You run away from him.
Mm.
You know, and the same way, people run away from God because they can't handle the guilt. They don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Except like Adam in the garden. That's what he did. Hid from God.
Right.
He didn't go up to God and say, go help me now.
Yeah.
He hid from God. And in the same way, that's what so many people do. But if the message can get out there that God so loved people that he went and did something for them where they could be come back to God and be forgiven.
And what he did was that Jesus fulfilled the justice of God.
That's right.
On the cross.
And nobody could do it but Jesus. Because nobody was innocent but Jesus.
Right.
See, this is the amazing thing. You know, if Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa or, you know, some good person out there decided they'll die for humanity.
Mm.
Well, so what? They may be good, but they're not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and so the shedding of their blood, it doesn't have the redemptive power. to save anybody. But the shedding of the blood of Jesus does have redemptive power.
Right.
And I love explaining this to people by talking about the Old Testament rules where, you know, God set it up that if you brought a sacrifice to the priest, which was ordered by the law, you would bring a lamb. And the priest would examine the lamb, see, was the lamb without defect? Was it a perfect lamb to be an acceptable sacrifice? The priest knew that you were a scabby old rotten sinner and, you know, that you needed redemption. But the priest did not examine you. He didn't say, well, how have you been living now? Have you been a good boy? Have you been a good person? Check the lamb. The lamb's okay. Then it's deemed acceptable. And then Jesus, remember, is the Lamb of God. I challenge you, go out in the street and ask the people of Ireland, do you know what the Lamb of God means? And 99% will say, I don't know what it means. You tell me. And that's what it's to do with, the perfect sacrifice for a holy God.
You know, somebody was just talking to me there during the week about the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, in the womb, a baby develops its own blood supply.
Right.
The baby's blood supply is not the mother's blood
right.
being pumped through its body.
Okay.
It has its own separate blood supply.
And doesn't it, in the placenta or something, the nutrients get exchanged?
They get exchanged.
Between the two.
But there's no mixing.
Yeah.
Of the two. So yeah. the blood of Jesus was unique because though he had Mary as his mother, so he had...
He wasn't plugged human, into her veins like...
Yeah, yeah, his blood was unique.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I love that. Gosh, yeah, I never thought of that, Dave, honestly.
Because God was his father.
Yeah.
You know? So when the embryo was fertilized...
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a human sperm
yeah.
that fertilized the embryo.
It was divine, yeah.
It was, whatever happened was
yeah.
divine.
Yeah.
And so the blood supply that Jesus had was utterly, utterly unique.
Yeah.
So in a very real sense, the shedding of his blood was the perfect sacrifice.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I know, but it is absolutely amazing, Dave. You know, but there's so many amazing things about the Word of God. That is, of course, the epicenter of the message of the Bible is about the cross, is about the blood. That's our door into relationship with God, which is so important. Because so many people, you know, they know bits of the Bible and they follow bits of the Bible and all the rest, but they're outside of relationship with God. And you cannot have that without forgiveness. You cannot have forgiveness without shedding of innocent blood. You cannot have shedding of innocent blood without death of innocent Jesus. And so this is why it's so important. And it's also why it's so under attack, you know, from the dark forces that they're trying to either make out that Jesus wasn't perfect or else that we're not so bad. They're the two lies that go around the place. And But God so loved the world, he gave his only son. I love that.
And that bit, you know, is only... the start, you know, the bit about being reconciled to God.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's only the start.
I know.
Because,
I know.
You know, God's purpose.
Yeah, but I am an evangelist,
so
Dave. That's why I'm always going about it.
Preaching to the converted.
Yeah, yeah, right. But believers, I think, and this is probably the essence of Pilgrim Talk, is to encourage people to walk in the reality of
this.
That's
right, yes.
You know, because people... some people struggle as Christians, you know, feeling, oh, I'm no good and I'm this, I'm that, you know.
Yeah.
And God's word to you, listener, is no, you are special. God made you in his image and he's redeemed you.
Yes.
And not just to scrape you into heaven by your bootlaces.
And you know,
manifest his glory in your life.
Exactly. And to tie that into what Jesus said in John 16, that it's to your advantage that I go away. You know, you might be feeling, as a Christian, you might be feeling unworthy and alone and not knowing what to do. And you think, oh, you know, it would be so much better if Jesus was right here, I could talk to him. But Jesus says, no, I've got something better than that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that you can know me and you can know the Father through the Holy Spirit, that you can have a relationship in the next breath, that you can experience the Holy Spirit in you fellowshipping or, you know, connecting with our Heavenly Father. And you don't have to go on a pilgrimage to, you know, some far part of the world to meet the person Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in you. And, you know, forget about how unworthy you feel. Just trust in Him to make that real to you.
So you don't have to go to Burma to meet Jesus, Dave.
You don't have to go to Burma. No. You don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, but you are going to Burma soon, I gather.
Yes. Yeah. In a couple of weeks' time, I just had a privilege of being invited to go over there.
Great. And so, I gather we might be having a podcast from Burma.
Well, I haven't set that up with anybody yet, but if I can do it, I will.
Yeah, well, we live by faith, Dave, you know. Yes. So it may or may not happen, but we always look for the best, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, God bless you all for listening. You've been listening to Pilgrim Talk, and this Anthony Brabazon and
David O'Rourke.
We're saying goodnight, goodbye, and good morning, God bless, or whatever time of day it is for you. God bless you all.
God bless.